We are sitting here on a Friday in early November, and our Astros are one win away from hopefully a world championship. I don't want to say too much because I don't really believe in jinxes, because I mean, what I say or do doesn't really have anything to do with what happens on the field. But I also feel like don't overextend the excitement, you know, if that makes sense, until it actually occurs. But this is Friday night. We always release the episodes on Monday, so by the time people get this, we will know the results of the World Series. And I'm hoping that this time, late tomorrow night, I am doing some hardcore celebrating, and I like to drink in celebration a little bit. But I've been fucking sick, and I haven't really been able to drink nothing. Yeah, I've been off this week. So have you. And it's like I've spent my vacation mostly with flu. Between me and the kids, it's been a week, that's for sure. So if I sound a little under the weather today, it's because I am. But you know, I'm here. You know, we've been doing this show for shit, 7-8 years now, and I've never let anything get in my way, man. We've all taken a week off here or there, like, you know, when I moved, but hell, when I went through my divorce, I went straight through it, never missed an episode. And you guys were kind of like, oh, you should take a week off. I'm like, no, fuck that. And y'all kind of looked at me like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, like
all right.
It's just how I am, man. Like, I've always been like that. I deal with things by hobbies and by moving forward. And that's just me, man. In all honesty, if there wasn't game 6 tomorrow night, I probably would have said, hey, Matt, let's record tomorrow night because I'm still feeling a little under the weather. And we've done that before, and you would have understood that. But fuck that, man. Yeah. I got a ball game to watch tomorrow night, so we're going to get through this episode and make the most of it so we can have some fun tomorrow, hopefully. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And how are you, man?
Good. Good, man. You know, we're getting into the last couple of holidays of the year. And, you know, kids are all excited. They keep asking me when Christmas is because, you know, I was off this week. So I did decorate because I know that I get busy.
You're one of those, man.
I'm usually not. I
put the tree up. Holy shit, man.
I did, man. Well, I usually save it for the day after Thanksgiving. Even, you know, or the 1st of December.
Sometimes,
you
know, I'll do it like the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. That's about the earliest I'll do it usually.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm off and I'm like, you know what? Why not? You know,
you're one of those, man.
Yeah, I am this year. That's for sure. But, you know, I redid my fireplace. I cleaned up the yard. I, you know, been doing stuff around the house, you know, it's been fun.
Now, like, I might start on the yard the weekend before Thanksgiving, because sometimes that's a 2 or 3 day process.
Yeah,
you know, I've put lights out that I don't like them, and I've moved them around. You know, sometimes that's like a man thing. You know, we want the yard part to look just right, and I think, you know, sometimes it takes a couple of shots. And now I've, like, the old house, man, I knew exactly how I wanted it, but now I got this new place I moved to, and I'm like, I'm already been thinking, like, man, what am I going to do with the yard? Because I want it to look nice, and I got my awesome Santa Yoda inflatable that I put out, and I got a Jack Skeleton like Santa Claus. It's, you know, it's all pop culture in this house. I'm slowly kind of redoing my tree too. Like, when I was still married, it was like a kind of Western theme, Santa Claus, country Western. And I still have that stuff, cause I mean, I'm not going to get rid of it all cause it's some cool stuff, but I'm kind of slowly getting more pop culturist type stuff. And, like, I really want a Christmas tree rug that's Star Wars, but all the ones I find are, like, mucho expensive. And I'm like, fuck, I'm not paying that for a damn Christmas tree rug. Because they're, like, custom jobs on Etsy and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe one day one will appear. Because would it be badass to have, like, a Death Star underneath a tree or something, you know? That'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah. But, like, yes, put some reindeer pulling the Millennium Falcon, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm excited. I bought earlier this summer when, you know, Walmart will start putting out their first fucking Christmas things, like in July. Then I found it's like an Indiana Jones Christmas tree ornament. Like, he's like a little bobblehead of Indiana Jones. And I'm excited to put that on the tree.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, that's a lot of rumor, dude, that the Indiana Jones trailer is coming possibly next week in front of Black Panther. But a lot of people think they're going to hold it till Avatar opens up. But we're definitely within the time frame of the next 5 weeks, we're going to have a new Indiana Jones trailer with a new title for the new movie. And that makes me super excited. I mean, like,
wow.
That might be my most anticipated movie of 2023 easily. I mean, with that and John Wick 4, probably my two most anticipated films, because I love the Indiana Jones films. And say what you want about Kingdom of Crystal Skull. There's things in that I even like, you know? I mean, it's just, I love the character of Indiana Jones. So I am super excited for that first trailer in the next few weeks. And who knows?
It's going to be fun, man.
Maybe we will get it next week and be talking about it on the show if it appears before Black Panther comes out.
One of the best adventure, if not the best adventure franchise ever.
Oh yeah, definitely one of the best. In fact, we can get into download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, or checked out this week. And in my chilling out, getting over the fever and the good chills and stuff, I did watch Last Crusade, which it's more of the original trilogy. I just sat in bed and watched it. Indiana Jones is always like, Indiana Jones is a lot like Star Wars. They're just comfort movies for me. When you're not feeling good, you just want to put something on the background, you just sit there and enjoy it. And that's how mm-hmm. that movie is for me, man. I just sat and watched it. And it's a good one. And I love it. It's, we'll be covering that here probably this summer. It'll be our 350th episode as we've done with the Indiana Jones film. So it'll be a good one to cover. So I did watch that this week. I gave Top Gun Maverick a rewatch, first time since I saw it in theaters, and boy, does it hold up just as well. What a damn good movie. I mean,
hell yeah, dude.
I wasn't sure, like, watching it in theaters, like, I knew it was great, but then was I caught up in the nostalgia, right? But then when I rewatched it, I'm just like, I can't find any flaws in it, man. It's just so good. It's like, say what you want about Tom Cruise and the Scientology and all that other BS, man. The guy knows how to entertain fucking masses. I mean, he's been doing it for years. The Mission Impossible franchise. That franchise I defend all the time, man. People at work are like, I don't know, it's Tom Cruise. I'm like, dude, if you like action movies, watch these films. I'm telling you, they're worth it.
They're good, man. And I did the same thing. I'm guilty of it. You know, I watched the first one, the second one, the third one. And then I was just kind of like, you know, just didn't watch them. And then, you know, we covered Mission Impossible, and I'm like, well, you know what? I need to watch the other ones so I can kind of speak to it. And man, they're badass, man. You watch one and you want to watch the next one. You know, it's like watching James Bond. You know,
yeah.
Whichever era you're a fan of, you're like, oh man, just watch Spectre, I need to watch No Time to Die, you just keep on going on. Quantum, yeah, it was Quantum of Solace, then Spectre, then No Time to Die. But yeah, man, I mean, it's one of those franchises that if you just discount it because it's got Tom Cruise in it, you're doing yourself a disservice because it's like a great action franchise.
What's so silly to me is like people want to justify their own morals by saying, well, I'm not going to support this because this guy did this. Okay. Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, totally.
It's okay to have, but at the same time, Tom Cruise, Joe Biden, whoever it is, they don't give a fuck about you. They don't know you. They don't care. So therefore, on the flip side of that, why should you care what they do in their personal life to not be entertained? Go be entertained. Enjoy a film. Okay? It's okay to sit and enjoy a political speech and just listen to what the person has to say if you don't agree with everything. And I just had to throw that out there because I don't know why I threw Joe Biden's name out there. It came off the top of my head. Don't keep yourself from being entertained just because you don't agree with this guy's political views, because I think or political views or the Scientology or whatever they support, or any celebrity for that matter, because at the end of the day, it's not going to change anything. You know, they're still going to make millions of dollars. You're going to keep yourself from being entertained. I've never understood that concept.
Every time I hear someone say, well, you know, some I'll use, you know, your example. I don't agree with Scientology, so I'm not going to watch any Tom Cruise films. I'm like, oh, congratulations, you single-handedly defeated Scientology. Right. You took on the dragon. You've slayed it. Congratulations, you know. You're a t-shirt, you know. Your flavor of the week.
Well, people will say, I've heard people, especially about Tom Cruise, well, I just don't like Tom Cruise. And I'll ask them, I'm like, why? Well, I don't know. I just don't like him. I'm like,
yeah.
Why?
Someone told them not to like him.
Hey, he's actually a really good actor. Doesn't get enough support. So I never said, and it's okay to have actors you don't like, but back it up. Like I'm not a big Ben Stiller guy. And this has, I just don't find him funny. He's had a couple movies I thought were okay.
He can play off of people, and that's it.
Dodgeball is kind of funny, but
Vince Vaughn's funnier.
He's played off Vince Vaughn in that,
exactly.
But I've never found him to be like funny. You know, same thing with Owen Wilson. I never understood why the guy was popular. He plays off of people.
Yeah,
but somehow Owen Wilson made his career. Now I don't dislike Owen Wilson, but like I've never thought he was like funny.
He's like, dependent.
Yeah, he's dependent, but he's okay.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I'm not the type that's not going to watch something just because that person's in it because I don't think they're that great. I'll still give a movie a shot, you know. That's just me. I'll still give a movie a chance. But other than that, I really just watched – I kind of watched old stuff. And I guess because I'm in a baseball kick with the Astros, I rewatched Moneyball, which is a movie I revisit about once a year. Man, it's such a good baseball movie.
It is.
Brad Pitt, such a good performance in that movie. So I rewatched that, and I feel like I watched at least one other thing, but it's drawing a blank. I mean, unless you count stuff I sat down and watched with the kids, but that's a lot of time. Yeah, it's like watching this.
Wow,
I haven't watched much TV shows, man. I need to get back into Andor, man. I am. It's Star Wars, and I love it, man. But that show's I've had a hard time getting into that show, and I've read some things that it gets better.
I have some. You know, we have. Friend of the show, Alex Whitley, who, you know, does You Suck and Shrewsbury podcast. And he's in love with the character development. And, you know, I watched the first three or four episodes and I was looking for more, you know, of the classic Star Wars stuff, you know, don't be cocky, you know, the star fighting, the buddy cop stuff, but they're like buddy starfighter stuff.
And I guess I should have known with Tony Gilroy being the show producer, like if you've gone and watched any of his stuff he's done, it's definitely his style. Like go watch the movie he made Michael Clayton with George Clooney. Good movie, but it's definitely his style. Slow burn, build up kind of stuff. And I have a hard time having that work with Star Wars. You know, I expect action and adventure and
you need an instant return with Star Wars. That's what Star Wars is. It's an instant return,
And I guess we're kind of in the minority of this because most people are really liking this show. I just, I'm trying to like it and I'll get back into it. I know I will. And, we'll see. So, man, what did you check out this week?
Speaking about Star Wars, that's what I'm going to start off on. And I know you watched this last week, and I went ahead and watched Tales of the Jedi. And I really enjoyed it. It felt like Star Wars. Felt like the animated Star Wars that, you know, we liked in Clone Wars. Same animation, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you get kind of, you know, some background on Dooku and, you know, a little bit of Windu. And of course, Ahsoka, and some of the training that she went through. And does it drive many plots forward? Not really. Somewhat, but not really. But it's fun. Yeah, it didn't need to. It's fun shit. You know, it's the kind of Star Wars that you want to watch. You love to watch. You know, the kind of like We go back and we watch reruns of this stuff, you know, and they're giving us more of the same. So it was fun to watch. I saw some people complained about the fight with the Inquisitor and Ahsoka and how she took him down in seven moves without a lightsaber. But, you know, she trained under Anakin. She's strong with the Force.
I was okay with that. I think people are missing the point of what the show is trying to instill, you know, just short little fill-ins. And hell, I want more of it. I hope there's more.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully there's more. I obviously this has got to be a test pilot. They're going to see how many people, you know, binge the series and how quickly and how many streaming hours and whatnot they're going to compile it and come up with if it's profitable or not. And hopefully it is. Also, I rewatched some stuff because I did get that new TV and I haven't been able to really watch anything. So, you know, I cranked up the bass and put on my Dolby Digital setting on my home theater. And I did Ready Player One because it's got some badass scores in it. So watched Ready Player One. It's fun as hell. Obviously, great watch. Very rewatchable.
I like that movie a lot. One of my favorite movies the last few years. I don't know why. I mean, yeah, maybe it's not the greatest movie, but it's just so much fun.
Yeah, man. All the callbacks, you know, all the nods, it's an Easter egg movie about Easter eggs with Easter eggs and talking about Easter eggs for an Easter egg. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I watched some, a not so great movie. It's one of those, guilty pleasure, action comedies, The Rundown. It's, whenever The Rock was kind of coming into his own, there's a cameo.
He wasn't Dwayne Johnson then. He was The Rock.
He was The Rock. He really was. And it's okay, I like it. The Rock is The Rock. And it was whenever he was starting to find his rhythm into the action star that he is now. And what always stuck out about that movie is Arnold exiting the club at the beginning. And
I forgot about that.
He points to The Rock and he goes, "Good luck in there." Like he's passing the torch. Yeah. Like, hey, you're the next big guy up, you know, don't screw it up. So I always, that's how I took it, you know, and, cause Arnold was, you know, would soon finish filming Terminator 3 and go on to be the governor of California. So, you know, of course he couldn't film at that point. So still fun's got Ahsoka Tano in there. Got Rosario Dawson. She's in the film. Christopher Walken, Sean William Scott, who's kind of disappeared over the last few years after American Pie and random teen movies. But, you know, overall, decent movie. Maybe one we cover on a theme month. Maybe if we do a rock month. Yeah, maybe we Rocktober. There we go, baby. Rock. Hey, make it happen, Mark. Rocktober. Make it happen. So then I wanted to, you know, torture the wife, and we watched a torture horror film because, of course, it's the last week of Halloween. So we watched The Terrifier. Of course, Terrifier 2 came out in theaters. It's a small B movie style film funded by Damien Leone. He's, oh my God, it's a disgusting film.
I've heard it's pretty gross.
This girl gets like tied up. She's like naked, tied up, upside down, and he hacks her from top to bottom in the middle. And she's not wearing anything, and everything's just going everywhere. It's crazy. I'm not usually into that, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to make her watch this stuff just to see how she reacts. And then I had to lighten it up. And I watched Coco because, of course, Dia de los Muertos. It's completely opposite. I watched Nightmare Before Christmas. Of course, I watched Coco like 5 or 6 times this week. I had Sammy home with me, my 2-year-old, and he kept saying, "Coco, Coco." And he'd say, "Papa, Coco." And so I put on Coco multiple times. We watched Nightmare Before Christmas 2. Watched a Martin Scorsese movie that I hadn't seen before. Had it passed my screen every once in a while, and had to watch it because it's Leo, it's Leo DiCaprio, Mark Ruffalo, Martin Scorsese in Shutter Island. And if you haven't seen the movie. It's a slow burn. Speaking about slow burns earlier, it is a slow burn. I almost wanted to turn it off because I'm like, where is this thing going?
It's good, but it's a one and done movie. It's like, yeah, once the secret's revealed, it's not something like, it's one of those movies that like I can watch Usual Suspects over and over again, even though I know the secret of it at the end, but I still find it like intriguing to watch, where Shutter Island's so slow that it's like, okay, once you've seen it, you're done with it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so many loops that he's running through and so many dead ends. I'm just like, when is he going to fucking figure it out? And then right whenever I was like, I'm going to turn this shit off, I just can't do it anymore, then it starts, you know, wrapping up.
It's one of those movies where, like, you know, Scorsese over the years has done a few movies like that where he's tried to branch out, and they're not bad or anything, but it's like, dude, just go back, keep making gangster movies. That's what you're fucking good at. You know, it's just like, I mean, you know, it's just true. Go do what you're good at, you know?
Yeah, so if you're interested, I mean, Shutter Island, it's on Amazon Prime right now. It's got a big twist at the end. If you like a thriller suspense kind of movie, then watch it. I'd say watch it. It's worth a watch. You know, it's directed by the great Scorsese, and you can definitely get something out of it, some entertainment value out of it. But that's about it, man. Other than playing Destiny.
You and Destiny. All right. Well, it's good shit. Good shit. Let's get into today's featured film then. A movie from 1984, which, you know, you could argue this movie came out of the studios wanting the next Star Wars, you know, and things like that. And, but really it wasn't the case with this. The guy who wrote the script kind of came up with ideas more because of the video game craze at the time and arcades, and he saw a kid playing games, and he did admit he had seen Star Wars, but he said he really, when he sat down to write it, he tried not to be influenced by it. And
He wanted this to more be like Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
Like the arcade being Sword in the Stone.
Yeah. More like an Arthurian tale. And, but that is, it is The Last Starfighter, kind of a movie that, you know, people may not be familiar with right away, but they've probably seen it at the time, especially if they're my age, because it aired on television a lot. It aired on Saturday matinees and HBOs and things like that. It's kind of become a cult classic over the years. In fact, Lance Guest, who stars in this movie, continues to make a living off of it by appearing at cons and things like that. Essentially, Matt, since you have never seen this before, I'll let you give it a summary.
Yeah. We, you know, come out in the setting is this trailer park. Alex lives in it, and he's got dreams of leaving the trailer park and getting out of the city with his girlfriend Maggie. And Maggie, you know, she's a little afraid. She doesn't want to let him know, but she doesn't really want to leave. He's got this annoying little brother that apparently has Playboy magazines under his bed. Go figure, you know, got some nasty magazines under his bed. But he's really good at this game. Ends up being the world's highest scorer on this random night playing. And it's very odd. All these 60-year-olds come out and start cheering him on. You figure you'd be a bunch of kids, you know.
I have a trailer park.
Yeah, but... and we'll get into the reason why it's a trailer park later. Turns out this is a recruitment device, and Centauri comes over in this badass looking DeLorean station wagon looking thing, and picks him up and says, "Hey man, you know, you want to be a starfighter?" He goes along with it, goes up and immediately, you know, is notified of the situation. I forget the bad guy's name. Zur. Threatening to blow up everything. He's like, "Oh, this shit's real. Some real shit." So he tries to run off and bumps into Dano, our Harley's character, Grig, which I didn't know that was Dan at first. Yeah. And I'm like, "Shit, it's the old man from RoboCop." He sounded familiar.
Yep.
And
usually he plays like tough, rough guy. So it's weird to see him more in a just kind of a buddy role.
Campy. Yeah, buddy, campy kind of thing. Befriends him, says, "Hey, you know, this ain't right for me." So Centauri takes him back reluctantly to Earth, which I guess he's not even supposed to recruit from Earth.
Right.
And Xur attacks the spaceship, the space station, and kills every starfighter, and he's the last starfighter left. Centauri comes back, gets him back on the ship, because he knows what he has to do. Earth is eventually going to be attacked by Xur. So there's this really comedic android that's left in his place who's trying to figure out how to be a human, and that's pretty comedic in itself. We'll get into that. But he comes up, has some superior battle tactics, and takes on a whole fleet and saves the day, becomes a hero, and shows that little town that he's not a nobody. Mm-hmm. And eventually takes Maggie with him, because he's got to have some poontang while he's in space. you got to. Han Solo knew this.
That's right.
Right?
Captain Kirk.
Kirk knew this.
Yep.
Buck Rogers. You got to, man.
This is true. Good summary. You know, but I could tell in your, just from your summary and you watching it, that you I think you got the point in this movie. This movie works, I think, because of the characters and the small little comedic things of that, and that you find yourself buying into the adventure of it. Because the special effects are very 1980s digital.
They were state of the art, though.
State of the art at the time. They actually look really, to me, they look really good for 1984.
Yes.
You know, they, but they're not there just to, like, some of Star Wars was there to sell the story, the special effects, but Last Starfighter realized it had to tell a good story on top of their cheaper special effects. And that's what it does well. You like Alex, you like the characters, you like the aliens, you buy into Centauri. They sell you by selling you good characters and good stories, and the special effects simply add to the story. And it's a simple story, but it's a fun story. I do wonder why there's this really fancy trailer park in the middle of the mountains in this beautiful territory. And I'm like, wow, I guess because, like, where we live, trailer parks don't look like that. They're pretty trashy.
Well, they wanted suburbia at first. They wanted it to look like E.T. Or Poltergeist.
Oh, it's definitely an Amblin Entertainment style film. Yeah.
Yeah. But they had the idea of the trailer park because they really wanted this guy to look kind of like the Squire, that mm-hmm. Sword in the Stone set, and wanted to show that even though he started, you know, from a seemingly low place, he rose above and got out of that situation and went to the stars. Yeah. So that was why.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, like you said, whenever he's playing the game and the whole town shows up to watch, it's just kind of like a lot of one-off characters in this, but it helps to sell you Alex as somebody people can believe in. And it just – you don't think too hard about it. You just kind of go with the movie and say, okay, cool. You know, he's a starfighter. And the movie doesn't try to be anything more than it does. It's not an overly complicated science fiction film. It's fairly simple what it tells, and it's a fun movie. This is a movie I grew up watching. I've always liked this movie. I've liked it a lot. I think it's a fun movie. I can't tell you the first time I saw it. I was probably a kid and just remember liking it. I probably didn't even recognize when I was a kid that the special effects were not good, but that's being unfair to it because I still think they are good for 1984. And I probably hadn't watched it in a couple of years, so I watched it this week, and I'm like, special effects don't even bother anymore. I'm like, they are what they are. I think they hold up fine. So you being a first-time viewer, man, you've never seen this. What do you think about it? Because I know we've done some movies from the 80s for that I grew up watching, and sometimes you and Long have thrown the nostalgic factor at me, and you haven't liked them as much. But, like, this is one of those I feel like it's hard not to like this movie. I think it's a pretty damn entertaining film.
It's got charm, man. It's got charm. It's got comedy. There's that sense of adventure. But in a Disney way, like in a you know, kind of a PG way, you know, and that's fine because it's kind of like Never Ending Story. You know, that's what it kind of gives me the same feel of, you know, just another nostalgic film that I didn't know about. And it's got a ton of comedy. You know, I love the bot. I mean, he's trying to be romantic, you know, with his girlfriend. And she's like all, you know, pissed off at him. And they're at the park with the, or some campground with another couple, and they're kind of a ways, and this guy's making a move on his girlfriend, so the bot's like listening into what this guy's saying, so he knows what to say to her. And he starts off pretty convincing. She's warming up to him. He's like, "You're my Venus, my Juliet." And then this other guy, I guess he's like some player. And so he tells his girlfriend, "All the other girls meant nothing to me. You're the one that I want to be with." And then she's like, "Talk dirty to me." And so he flips her over, tells her the same thing. And she's like, "Other girls?" And he's like, "You want me to talk dirty to you now?" And gets all pissed off at him. And he's like, "Oh, the hell with it. I'm an android, you know?" Beep, boop, beep. And spills the secret. And he gets shot by the assassin. We didn't talk about the assassin because no one really dies. I guess the android, has to sacrifice himself so he doesn't get the message out that the last starfighter is up in space training and not back on Earth. So he shows that he's a bot. And that part's just hilarious because the little brother sees his real brother, Alex, and then the fake Alex, and he's just like, "Huh?" And he's like, "What did I say? Go to bed." And you're just like,
"Tell Ball about your record." Yeah.
So I think it's really fun. Is there some nostalgia involved? Man, I feel like if I watched this movie whenever I was little, I would probably be more geared to watch it more and more again. Like I said, this is I like the Never Ending Story movies, even the third one, which a lot of people forget even was even made. It has Jack Black in there.
Not that good.
Yeah, second one starts off good, but no.
Yeah.
It's a thing rooted in nostalgia. This one is probably a movie rooted in nostalgia for a lot of people, but it holds up. It holds up.
Right.
You can see why it was successful in theaters. Forgot to mention that $15 million budget made $28 million. Even in the midst of Atari failing, people forget Atari.
Right.
They were just releasing these shitty games,
And that was more part of the problem. Like they wanted, this was intended to be kind of a franchise or a hopeful franchise. And two issues. Atari was starting to fail because Nintendo was coming out. Atari made games based on this movie, but they weren't like the movie. So people were confused. They were just Last Starfighter by name. So the games from the movie weren't successful. The action figures that were going to be made, I can't remember. I don't want to say this wrong, but I can't remember if the company was going bankrupt or whatever, but they pulled all the action figures at the last minute. There's lots of Last Starfighter prototypes out there because there were going to be action figures made that never got made. So a lot of the merchandise behind this movie kind of fell apart, which kept it from getting into the public eye to make those millions of extra dollars for more hopeful movies. Even though it was a success at the box office and a success on video, it just didn't have that franchise merchandise to go with it because of just some bad timing, maybe might be the best word for it.
That's probably the best way to put it.
With Atari falling apart and just the action figures not happening, unfortunately. But it doesn't keep it from still being the movie that it is, which is a fun adventure sci-fi movie. There's a lot of talks about a reboot of this happening. Gary Whitta, who's a longtime comic writer and also a screenwriter, has apparently written a script for a reboot of this. There's been some interest from some studios last few years. I don't know if it's still in pre-production or what, but I know there's been some talk of it. And this feels like a pretty cool story that, sometimes I don't like remakes or reboots, but like this one is one that I think could serve from a modern reboot. I think it would work. And it wouldn't take away from this one. You still have this classic to watch.
I think if you bring Alex back and Alex is the new Centauri.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You do a legacy sequel. I think that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still have that continuity going on.
Yeah.
That's just the way you do it now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I know Marvel Comics did a tie-in comic to adapt the movie. So it did have some merchandise like that. Over the years, I think there has been some companies that have put out action figures from this movie since then. So it definitely has its following. I mean, this is one of those movies that you walk into a comic store and you mention The Last Starfighter. People are going to hear this movie. So it definitely got its following among geek culture and pop culture. It's one of my, like I said, definitely one of my favorite 80s flicks that isn't a big time, you know, Star Wars, Indiana Jones type thing. It's just more of a smaller film. And I enjoyed rewatching this week. I like you said, the comedy bits are good. They're funny. The action is just right. I remember being a kid playing video games and kind of believing in this stuff. Like, man, if I play a game, is someone going to come make me a starfighter?
If you do a badass job, someone's going to be like, actually, you, that was a test and you passed it. That's we right. need you to defend the galaxy.
But, it's a fun flick, man. I'm glad you liked it. Cause I know a couple of these other 80s flicks. Like, let me think, we're just coming off Halloween. Like the Monster Squad comes to mind. Like, yeah. I love the Monster Squad, but I know you and Long weren't as high on that one as I was, you know, but I still think it's a fun movie. You were probably a little higher on that Long was. Long kind of hate.
Yeah.
But this is up there. This is in kind of that vein of like the Monster Squad and Flash Gordon and just kind of those 80s nostalgic trip movies that people know, but they're not the big dogs. You know, they're kind of that mid-level dogs that are like, they're fun to watch and, you know, and you can sit back and enjoy them. And you might not always want to admit to it unless someone else admits to it first. Like, oh, you like that movie too? So it's okay to like it. But I think it holds up pretty well for a movie. It's almost 40 years old. Maybe I'm being a little generous to it, but I give it a pretty solid B plus, man. I think it still holds up well.
I'd say B plus too.
It's fun. I'm glad you enjoyed watching it, man. Cause this is a movie I've been wanting to do this movie for a while and talk about it some. And, cause it's been on the radar and, it's a good flick.
No, I'm very entertaining. If you want to watch it, you'll have to rent it for now. But you know, it's worth the rental. It's definitely worth the rental.
Yeah. It's a good movie. We got a couple of 80s, nostalgic flicks coming up. We got Willow coming up in a few weeks and we were going to do it this week. But we wanted to do it closer when the TV show comes out. So a couple of these 80s nostalgic flicks. Now you've seen Willow, right?
Nope.
You've never seen Willow either?
Wow. Never seen it. I know I've seen, I think I started watching it one time. I remember how it starts out, but that's it. I can't.
That's coming up in a few weeks. I don't have to worry yet. It's on Disney Plus, so you can.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk some news then. I guess no sub feature this week. Next week we will have This Week in Pop. Well, no, probably in 2 weeks This Week in Pop Culture History, because we got a big week next week. We'll talk about that here in a minute. We preview next week's episode. Fans of Westworld, you are canceled, man. After 4 seasons, HBO has given the show the axe. I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes of the first season a while back, and it was just – I don't mind weird, but it was almost too weird for me. I was just like – I couldn't tell what was going on. I was like, you know, I can't do this. So I never really watched any more of it. But I know the show had its fans. The internet outcry today was quite wide. People were pretty upset that it's being canceled after 4 seasons.
It's got a big following. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it is what it is. I don't know. HBO, you know, they didn't give reasons. Maybe it's part of these HBO Discovery cutbacks. The show was kind of a little bit pricey. I remember there was a long delay between what, the second and third season, I think, if I remember right. So, you know,
that's what happens, man.
Fans of that show, showbiz. You are canceled. And we'll stick with HBO for a minute. January 15th. Is the official date for The Last of Us hitting the TV network, the streaming service. Super excited for that. Big fan of the game. So looking forward to seeing what Pedro Pascal brings to the role of Joel and see how this all plays out in the television version.
We'll see, man. I'm hoping I think it's going to be better than anything. Any of these recent Resident Video Evil adaptions, things that have been put on there. What I'm hoping is it's like this return of the quality of zombie, you know, stuff we get from, we got from Walking Dead, you know, that it's kind of, but a refreshing kind of series, not one that you're just like, oh, it's another one of these, you know? So I've never, obviously never played, one of the video games. So, I'm going to watch it and, you know, I won't know any precursors or hopefully, anything like that.
Hopefully we get a full trailer for it soon too, since it's a couple months away.
Should at least get a teaser by now, you know.
We did get a new trailer this week for Avatar, The Way of Water. You know, at this point, I just want to see the movie. I mean, James Cameron is one of those directors that at this point, we all know we want to see it. We want to see what he's going to do. It's going to be 3 hours and 10 minutes. So I'm going to have to not drink anything during this movie, or I'm going to have to go pee 25 times.
Yep.
The trailer is beautiful. I mean, talk about a pretty looking trailer. I mean, that's my holy thought. I was so focused on the visuals. Wasn't even paying attention to any dialogue that was in the trailer. I mean, it looks like a home run again for James Cameron. I mean, it was an amazing looking fucking trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my only thoughts on it. I don't get blown away by trailers very often, but this trailer had me like really like, wow, that just amazing.
It looks good, man. It's a good looking film. You know, people forget that, you know, Avatar, whenever it first came out, it's like everyone wanted to use the same type of cameras that were used. Mm-hmm. I remember Resident Evil Extinction came out, and they're like, "Oh, they're using the same cameras that were used in Avatar." Oh, and I'm like, still not gonna go watch it.
Yeah, right. No, I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to that. It was Godzilla Day a couple days ago, and Toho announced that there is a new Japanese Godzilla film coming in 2023. No details on this as whether it's a sequel to Shin Godzilla or a whole nother film. A lot of people believe that it is a sequel to Shin Godzilla to continue where they left off on that one. But we'll see. I know our other co-host Long, who's taking a hiatus from our show, I'm sure he's excited about this. You know, he's our resident Godzilla expert, we could say. And
Kaiju expert.
Excited for Godzilla fans. It's going to be a good year for Godzilla. You know, they're doing the sequel to Godzilla vs. Kong. I can't remember if that comes out next year or 2024. You got the Apple TV show for Godzilla coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And now Toho doing a new film. So big things are happening for the big, giant, radioactive lizard. You know, and I hope I didn't insult any Godzilla fans by calling him a lizard. I was trying to be funny.
He's a lizard, damn it.
Don't yell at me over it. And last but not least, if you were waiting on the Sandman like I was to finish the first season, I've only watched the first couple episodes. Netflix did finally renew it for season two. So I might go ahead and watch the first season now, knowing that I'm going to get more. But the problem with the Sandman, it's like 10 volumes. Are they going to be able to tell the whole story? Are we going to get enough seasons of it? Neil Gaiman has mentioned already, though, that, you know, if Netflix was to drop the show, that he might try to shop it to other networks. So there's hope that we will get the complete story of the Sandman told on the small screen in time. Yeah. So if you were holding out on that one, you can go ahead and get season one to watch. You'll have at least a second season on Netflix. That's it, man, as far as the news this week. Let's preview next week's film. We're going to do something a little different next week because it's coming up on 30 years. How old am I? Yeah, 30 years. 30 years this week, DC Comics decided to pull off the biggest comic book gimmick of all time. And we'll call it a gimmick because at the time, we thought it was real. You know, they killed Superman in the comics that week. People rushed the comic stores after work, after school, to try to nab a copy of it. It was the biggest thing ever. I mean, to this day, 30 years later, I can't remember a bigger event in comic history as far as getting comic shops excited.
Man, so I remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was huge. So next
week. Even being little, yeah.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I remember I had to have and I only knew this because my cousin told me about it. And I was like, what? He dies? He's like, yeah, you've got to get the black copy and the white copy. You got to get two of each so that you can keep one closed. And then you're not supposed to open that one. And you get the other one, you can open it. And so I'm like, oh, you know.
I know.
Yeah, I think it was like one of like the ninth or tenth comics I've owned. I read like Venom Lethal Protector. And then this was next, you know.
What's funny is I never did get a black bag copy. I ended up with like a third or fourth print eventually. It was so hard to get. But, you know, since then I've read the trades and all that. So it was an exciting thing, man, the comic book store. And I miss those days, man, those excitements of of things. Now everything's hand fed to you on the internet, so you don't get the excitement as much.
Yeah, it's leaked. Yeah.
So for the movie feature next week, we are going to discuss, it's kind of two movies, but they've been, you can buy a special edition Blu-ray where they're putting one. And these are the DC animated films, The Death of Superman and The Reign of the Superman.
Hold on, Lex. I'm picking up something.
Does that asteroid look unusual to you? I got the alert. What's up?
Initial reports are some kind of creature. If anyone's watching this, send help! This monster's killing everyone!
Alert! Three leaguers down and we only just got here. Need backup, now!
Not been identified and is rumored to have left members of the Justice League wounded or near death.
There's one thing I can't stand. It's a bully.
We need you, Clark.
Don't hold back or he'll kill everyone.
I don't know where you came from. But I'm sending you back.
You can't go back after that thing. It's suicide.
I have to get back to work. This city needs me.
You think it might kill Superman?
It would save me a lot of trouble.
Are these new guys? Why are they here? What is their place? In a world without a Superman.
The Man of Steel is dead. We saw the body. It's time for human beings to stop relying on leagues and titans and start saving ourselves.
I can give each of you the power to be your own hero.
Clark's body disappears and suddenly these new supermen show up out of the blue.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Superman.
There is only one Superman.
You look like Superman, but Superman died in my arms.
For my people, death doesn't have to be the end. Terrible things are coming, Lois. I can feel it.
We gotta be our own heroes. We sure as hell could make some noise.
When the Daily Planet said Superman is dead, it painted a target on the Earth.
How do we even begin to fight that?
So next week, we're going to talk those two movies on the show. We're going to talk about them like they're one movie because they essentially are, because the second part takes place right after the first one's over. They're available on HBO Max to watch if you've never seen them. They're part of the DC Animated Universe, and they're actually really good. So we're going to look back next week at The Death of Superman, The Reign of Superman, those movies. We're going to look back at the impact that it had on the comic book culture. It's going to be a really special episode, done a little differently maybe, because we're going to talk a lot of comic book stuff next week along with the movies, and kind of compare, contrast somewhat, and talk about just the pop culture impact The Death of Superman had back in November of 1992 on the world, and the fact that it still has an impact today. I mean, you know, we'll talk about more next week. We saw The Death of Superman and Batman vs. Superman in the movie. You know, it even played into recent films, and so we'll see how that all works out next week. It's kind of excited to do something like this. It's going to be fun to do next week as we delve into the death and life of Superman on next week's episode of the show. And so it'll be cool. I might even read Superman. I have the Death Superman trade paperback somewhere around here. I might even have to give it a reread just to have my.
Could even go on Comixology, check it out. Yeah, it's all probably on there. Free on there.
Well, that's all we've got this week. Until next week, the rebelradiopodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs on all the apps, as always, to listen to the show. We thank you, as always, for listening, and continue to be safe out there. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.